Hello and welcome to the Conversations Politics podcast. I'm Michelle Grattan. The Prime Minister has given the Senate an ultimatum. Pass the government's industrial relations legislation or face a July 2 double dissolution. The outcome is in the hands of the crossbenchers. The government needs 6 of the 8 to get the legislation through. One of them, Queensland Independent Glenn Lazarus, shows no sign that he could be swayed. Unless the legislation to revive the building industry watchdog, the Australian Building and Construction Commission, was expanded to make it a broad anti-corruption body. And that's something the government won't do. Senator, thank you for being with us today. Malcolm Turnbull has taken a quite dramatic step in having the Senate recalled, and the national spotlight's very much on the crossbenchers now. How much pressure do you feel under as you and your colleagues make this decision about the industrial legislation?
I always feel pressure when it comes to bills and policies, and whether or not I'm going to vote for them or not. I don't feel under all that much pressure in the sense that I've got a fair stance or a firm stance on what I, which way I'm going to go with this. I've said to Malcolm on a number of occasions, if he makes it a national corruption watchdog or the equivalent, I'd be more than happy to vote for it. But in its current form, I'm not going to vote for it. So I personally don't feel like I'm under pressure. I feel as though I've been a bit, threatened in a sense that Malcolm is sort of suggesting that if we don't vote for the ABCC, he's going to go to an election. Well, he's going to go to one anyway, but I'm certainly not going to be blackmailed or bullied into making a decision that I think is not the right thing for Queenslanders.
It's pretty obvious that he's not going to broaden this body, and it seems pretty obvious that you're not going to change your position, so you're a no vote on this realistically, aren't you? Nothing that's going to happen in the next few weeks is going to change that.
Yeah, well, it's been interesting watching and listening to the commentary from the government side of things. One minister or government senator will say, yeah, we will look at amendments and things, and then another one will come out and say, we're not going to turn this into a bit of Swiss cheese. So it's very hard to sort of scope on how flexible the government's going to be, but it's been confirmed to me by Malcolm himself that he's not going to go to the extent of making a national corruption watchdog. So, if that's the case, I won't be voting for it.
So have you spoken to Malcolm Turnbull in the last couple of weeks?
Well, the last time I spoke to Malcolm was at the infamous dinner at the lodge. I asked him, turn it into a national corruption watchdog, and he just gave me a blank look, the Comcar turned up and we got in and left, so I would assume that would mean that's not going to happen.
In fact, though, that wouldn't be an amendment to this bill, it would be a complete change, wouldn't it? So you'd have to negotiate really some parallel body. Wouldn't it be inappropriate that this particular body broadened into that national watchdog?
I think at the end of the day, the ABCC is just a tool that the government's using to have a go at unions and labour. I don't think it certainly doesn't come up on the radar of people in Australia. Mums and dads feel as though this isn't as important as what it appears to be for the government. Obviously, this will be a trigger for a double dissolution election, and in saying that, he's already got that, but he obviously feels as though this is going to be an area where he can really target, obviously, unions and Labor. I'm not too sure about whether or not whether he could broaden the ABCC. Obviously, the ABCC stands for Building and Construction Commission, but I guess if he withdrew it and made a national corruption watchdog, that'd be great. But as I say, it'll be interesting to see what sort of amendments they accept and what they don't. But at the end of the day, I think they're on the right track with it. It's looking at corruption, but they need to, I think, broaden it to cover all corruption. We see on a weekly basis, we see sectors embroiled in corruption. We see the banking sector, we see politicians, we see building and construction companies, leaving the poor old subbies left high and dry because they are not financially viable, so they just shut down that company and then a couple of weeks later open start up a Phoenix company that continues on and obviously has no, they don't have any things put on them that say that they've got to pay these subbies back. So the poor old subby cops it. The building construction companies just move on. So there's corruption everywhere and I think we need to address the whole thing. One in three companies that earn over $200 million in this country don't pay tax. I think we should be concentrating on looking for those types of companies to pay their way rather than just concentrating on one particular sector.
So you do accept, though, there's corruption in the building sector, even if people are not particularly preoccupied with it in the general public. You're just saying that what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah, look, I've never said that that the building and construction sector is squeaky clean. As I say, there's corruption all over and we need to address it all. And, this government's hammered us for the last 2 years about the bottom line, the deficit that we've got and how it's forever climbing. Well, if everybody paid their way in this country, we wouldn't have this issue. So, rather than putting all your resources and your concentration on an ABCC bill that only targets one sector, why wouldn't we be looking at, all sectors of corruption and, of course, making the big end of town pay their fair share?
Leaving aside your own position and your own vote, do you think the government has any chance of getting 6 of the 8 crossbenchers on this bill, the ABCC bill, and also the Registered Organisations bill that it wants passed?
Yeah, I think the Registered Organisations bill, from what I can read, with a couple of amendments, maybe I think the Registered Orgs will get up. The ABCC one, I think, has a chance. For a few reasons. One, some crossbenchers will be happy with a couple of fairly, insignificant amendments. But also, the threat of this double D is a threat to some people's livelihoods. So I'm not saying who or what senators would be thinking about that, but it's got to be in the back of some of their minds.
But on the other hand, John Madigan has been very, very strong on this and he's up, he goes out next
He's up
to
anyway, so, yeah.
And also Jackie Lambie, who thinks she could win in Tasmania in a DD, sounds very intractable.
Yeah, so again, funnier things have happened, I got to say. There are, bills that I thought some people weren't going to vote for have and obviously vice versa, so I mean, anything can happen, I got to say. And as I say, circumstances are a bit different for a lot of us, but I'm very adamant with the conditions that I will set around voting for it, and that is turn it into a national thing or nothing.
One possible scenario that's being canvassed is that the Senate comes back and then votes just to not consider the legislation, go away again, whatever. What do you think are the prospects of that? You've raised that question. Do you think that would be a good idea?
What really frustrates me, Michelle, is that, as I've said before, not many Australians think this is a really important piece of legislation. And there's a lot more important things that should be debated and dealt with. In the last sitting week, I sat at a round table with interested parties when it came to childcare. And they're telling me that, there's thousands and thousands of families out there that just don't know their future in regards to that, whether they will have more children, whether they can, the mum can go back to work simply because they don't know what sort of assistance they're going to get. So there's a lot of people out there with their lives on hold for various reasons. I think we need to start considering that and start dealing with pieces of legislation that actually do matter to a lot of people. I wasn't overly impressed with the fact that Malcolm Turnbull went certainly didn't take into consideration the direction of the Senate. The Senate said no, we'll still sit in May. We won't sit in April. He's gone to the Governor General and had that turned around. But it'll be really interesting to see. And I haven't had much consultation with any other senators about it. But they can make us come back, but they don't. They can't make us discuss certain things, or you know, or what will be the makeup of the running of the Senate. Will it be just the normal sitting weeks or not? I don't know. But
would that be a fair enough tactic to just say, well, you may just come back, but we don't want to talk about it?
Well, I'm certainly Labor will use it. I'd have no doubt. They obviously are dead against the ABCC. And
you think it's reasonable?
Yeah, I think so.
So the Senate would just hang around and do other things? Or?
Well, I'm hoping that we can, you know, debate and legislate bills that mean something to somebody, like the trucking industry thing with the RSRT. You know, the government's saying they're going to put up a piece of legislation that will put a stay on the order that will crucify some 35,000 owner-driver truck drivers. That's the sort of thing we need to be dealing with, not something that's just going to target one particular sector.
Now, you're convinced there will be an election on the 2nd of July. What probability do you put on surviving that election?
Yeah, well, if it's a double D, I'm very certain that I will get back in. I think I receive a lot of support and a lot of encouragement from people all around the state. Obviously, with the different voting reform now, where it'll be difficult, but I'm very confident that I would get in. Resources, again, will be a little bit of an issue, but again, I've had lots of people say that they're willing to help. And, of course, finances will be an issue. That's going to be an issue. But I just think on my performance and from what I've seen polling from the Australia Institute. We've done internal polling by just ringing people and asking, you know, who they're considering in the Senate. And we're getting very, very positive feedback. So I'm very confident I'll get back in.
Are you getting support from unions?
I'm getting encouragement from them. I'm getting the suggestion that they'll be able to provide some bodies at polling booths, as I am from a lot of other sectors.
Does that include the CFMEU?
No, I haven't spoken to the CFMEU.
So what unions do you think will back you?
Well, as you know, I'm a very big supporter of the shipping industry. So the MUA, the AIMPE, those unions that are involved in the shipping industry have certainly put up their hand and said, we will give you some support. I guess at the end of the day, that relationship came about because they saw the support I was giving them rather than what they were going to provide me, and that's how we started the conversation around providing bodies on polling booths. And I just think it's disgraceful the way we're treating our shipping industry. I got to say, we're completely now reliant on our fuel coming from overseas with no Australian ships, no Australian crews. If we have conflict with these particular countries, we've got about a week's worth of fuel, and I just think it's really disgraceful the way the government's allowing our shores to be sailed around by foreign ships, foreign crews who have no real security clearance, and of course the MUA and the AIMPE obviously appreciate my support there.
How much do you estimate will cost to run a Senate campaign? It must be quite a lot.
Yeah, who knows? I wouldn't have a clue, to be honest with you. Wouldn't have a clue, but I know it is a lot of money.
Don't you have to have a budget before you launch into this thing?
Well, one, we don't know when the election is.
Or a big house to mortgage
something. Yeah, something like that. Look, we're going to be scraping and scrimping and so forth. I'm hoping that some organisations will want to donate to me, but we'll have to wait and see. Certainly, there's been nothing spoken to me about money in that regard. But
of course, last time this wasn't a problem because you were a Palmer United Party candidate. Just looking back on all that, do you regret that you got involved with PUP in the first place?
Well, I don't regret that I got involved in politics. I think only last week, I think it sort of was the mark of me being an independent for 1 year. And I got to say, I've really enjoyed and I'm continuing to enjoy my role. The fact that, you know, Palmer United is pretty much gone doesn't surprise me. But I'm really glad that I was able to, you know, have a career in politics because I do really have a...
Catch that passing tram.
Yeah. Well, I just... Well, again, it was something that was... came out of the blue, and in the end, I said I would, and, you know, the fact that I was elected, I was very humbled by that. And when I first started campaigning, you know, people, particularly in North Queensland, were very, very disenchanted with their politicians. There's no, they don't feel they have a voice down here, or they never see their representatives. And I thought, well, if I get elected, I would certainly make an effort to do that. And I do. I get up to Cairns and Townsville and North Queensland on a regular basis. And so I really enjoy that. And I'm hoping through all that show of support that I will be shown support in the next election, and I'm very confident that will happen.
You said you weren't surprised that PUP disintegrated. When did you realise it was not going to be viable, and why weren't you surprised?
There was never one real point. It was just sort of accumulated over time. I guess the realisation then that you know, we weren't going to be doing this for the people of Queensland or Australia. This was all about what, you know, I guess whatever Clive wanted. So we weren't very much involved with the input into piece of legislation. We were basically told how to vote yeah, it was. I mean, I never had a minister in my office before I left Palmer, so I've become a better politician as a result.
How are your relations with Clive? Do you cut each other dead in the corridors of this building?
Well, actually, coincidentally, we haven't crossed paths yet. I've severed all ties with Palmer United, and I'm very glad that I have. I've got a really professional office here with great people in it, and we're all about, our goal is always to be, do the best job we can to represent Queensland and the Queensland people, and I think we're doing a great job.
Just looking back on your time in the Senate, your time so far, what have been the best of times, what have been the worst of times?
Well, some of the good times is when I, you know, I've been able to establish Senate inquiries re-establish funding for things like the Arthur Beetson Foundation, Murray Carnival, and the street soccer, homeless soccer program, things like that. Some of the worst times, well, it was one the last sitting week. I mean, I put up a motion to not only congratulate the Morecambes, but also have the government look into setting up a national serious sex offenders register, and not one senator voted for it. So I was really disappointed with that, and I promised the Morecambes that I would continue to push for this, and I will. But they're the sort of things that disappoint me. I just couldn't believe the fact that no one was willing to establish or encourage the government to have a look at setting up this national register.
You can be really isolated as a...
Yeah, you can be. As an independent. Certainly can. Absolutely you can, yes.
Do you feel that most of the time, or do you feel most of the time that there's a bit of affinity with other crossbenchers that you are also empowered by your crossbench position?
Yeah, I think we've become a lot... Yeah, we've become this group of politicians that are certainly bounce off each other and use each other's resources, you know. There's some areas that Jackie's... knows a bit more about than me, and I know a bit more about some that Jackie doesn't, or Ricky, or Dio, or whoever. And we get on really well as officers and as senators. And but at the end of the day, the thing that all of the crossbench appreciate is that, you know, they vote the way that they think is the right way, and not the way they've been told. And you know, we're not guided by party policy. We can actually you know, vote for what we think is the best thing for our relevant states.
Thank you very much for talking with the conversation today. And that's all from our podcast. Until next time, thank you to my producer, Pat Hutchins. We'll be back with another interview soon. I'm Michelle Grattan.